Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pieces from Prison podcast. We are so excited to be back, and we apologize for the short little break that we took there. We had some technical difficulties with my internet, and both Nana and I moved into a new apartment, so it was just a lot at once.
But we now we are moved back. Like a week apart.
Yes. And then I was just, it took me literally 2 weeks to get internet in my apartment. So we apologize, but we are back for good now. Back to our weekly schedule. Okay. So we are so ready to get out these new episodes to you guys. And so without further ado, here is our next episode. The episode we're doing this week is about a man who's serving a life sentence for capital murder. And I've also noticed that we've done like a decent amount of murder cases so far. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I have reached out to people who are incarcerated for all different types of crimes. What we've seen with every story, even though a lot of the crimes have been similar, everyone's story has been so much different so far. Yeah. And everyone's gone through their own struggles and their own battles. And personally, I have yet to see any letters from anyone that's made me say, like, wow, I'm surprised he's turned to a life of crime. Like, there's, like, certain... Like, every letter that we've got, I can see, like, what circumstances might have led them down that path.
I would feel like I was thinking about this, I think, just with this podcast lately. I feel like in a lot of cases, it's almost like everyone is a version or, like, someone that you could have been if you... Like, if you grew up here and you had this happen and you had these parents, it's almost like each person that's out there is, I don't know, like a potential you, which is kind of weird to think about.
But yeah, I'm not saying everyone has a perfect life and everyone else who hasn't turned to a life of crime doesn't go through struggles, because they do. Everyone goes through their own hardships, but a lot of these stories that we talked about so far have been intense. So I'm just bringing up that randomly just to remind everyone why we do this. So like I said, the man in this letter is serving a life sentence for capital murder. At the beginning, he goes into a little bit of detail of what he has observed in prison so far, which is really interesting. So he starts off by saying, "Prisons where I live are all about free labor, and I don't think they care about reforming us. In my opinion, it benefits the system when we come to prison. It's all about keeping a business alive. We are a commodity, and we are the consumers. We make a lot of the products, and we buy them from commissary. It's a monopoly. This place will mess you up mentally because we are not treated like adults, humans, or men. We are treated like animals. We are only good for the work that we do here to keep the units running. You have to fight to better yourself in here, because the officers could not care less about you getting an education or being saved by the grace of God. Not all of the officers are bad, but the majority are. They bring the drugs, phones, and sometimes weapons in here to us. They lie and write bogus cases on us and beat us in order to control and exalt their authority over us. No one believes us because we're the criminals, and the public thinks of us a certain way because of what the media says about us. We're not all good, but we're not all bad, and people would know that if they took the time to get to know someone. Punishment shouldn't be the main goal. Finding the problem and solving the problems should be." So that's what he wrote about, like, his experience in prison, and you actually did some research again about like how he said prisons is like a business. They profit off of them doing free labor. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I'm going to be pulling from, first, I want to recommend the documentary 13th on Netflix. I think it gets into it a little bit, and that's a good documentary. And then I also read, well, it's a book I have read in the past called The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. And it's a really good book, and she outlines kind of, I guess, some of the history of this. And if to understand it, you have to kind of go back to the abolition of slavery. African Americans were released from slavery, and, you know, they started trying to, I guess, really make moves so that they could excel. And so they had these bureaus that were helping them with getting clothing, getting food. They had a public education system that started. But of course, some people didn't like that this was happening. And so they decided that they were going to try to take back the South. And so they withdrew some of the troops. And then she says tens of thousands of African Americans were arbitrarily arrested. So that means they had fees, they had time to serve, they had essentially no rights. And this is the first prison boom, and she says that the convict population was growing 10 times faster than the general population. And so they're basically forcing Black people back into what's essentially slavery in a new form. And here they were doing a lot of labor in prison. And then I also looked at the Marshall Project. They say that a person who's incarcerated in federal prison can make anywhere from a few cents to a dollar an hour. And they could be doing really dangerous and laborious work. So I saw where they can use them to contain fires, or they can use them for like agricultural work. And some companies say, like, we're using voluntary labor. But I don't know if, I mean, at that price, I would consider it really unethical to pay someone $1 an hour to be doing this work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So he goes on to write a little bit about his case and his home life. And that's what we'll be talking about next. So he says, I was 19 years old when I was charged with two counts of capital murder. I caused the death of two young men while in the course of robbing their drug house. At the time of this crime, I was under the influence of marijuana, laced with PCP, while being pressured into this by someone I loved, trusted, and feared. I've been ashamed to tell my story and admit the truth, that I'm in prison because of cowardice. You see, in prison, everyone has a grandiose story of crime and criminal lifestyle. Me, I murdered two people because I was afraid to stand up to my big cousin. I was the youngest person involved, and I am the one who received the most time. I've accepted responsibility for my actions, and I've made peace with myself and with God. I've sought forgiveness from the victim's family members, and I've tried to move on with my life. I honestly wish I could go back and make the right decision, but that's impossible. I just hope and pray my story will help deter someone from going down the road I have taken. I was raised in a single-parent household with one older sister. My dad was an abusive man who beat my mom unmercifully. I can remember all the way back to the age of 3 years old, and my dad took the three of us through a lot. His actions affected me the most, and I have lived with the trauma ever since. As a child, I had a speech impediment, and if you listen closely, you will catch it when I get upset or overly excited. My first year of school was difficult because I dealt with abandonment issues. I cried every day at school and was beat at school and at home for crying. My dad ended up kidnapping me, and that was the end of school for that year. My mom didn't know the adverse effect of what I had witnessed and how it took a toll on my personality and my social adjustment. I was merely a child, so I didn't know what was right or wrong, nor did I know how to explain what I was experiencing. I slept in the same bed with my mom or my sister, until I was 9 years old because I was afraid of the dark. I was chased home from school pretty much every day in the third and fourth grade because I was the only black kid in my neighborhood. My sister was there, but girls don't act as cruel as boys. I grew up alone, wanting acceptance. I suffered from insecurity, and all I wanted to do was fit in. I grew up with feelings of inadequacy, and that turned into pain and anger. But under all the anger sat a hurt and insecure little boy, longing for love and acceptance. That's what caused me to be easy prey and fall victim to peer pressure and end up in prison. Peer pressure is very subtle, and it will sneak up on you. And if it isn't checked, it will overtake you. It took prison and the countless hours that I have endured to come to this conclusion about myself and my current predicament. I've hurt so many people, and by hurting others, I hurt myself as well. I had to go back into my childhood and ask questions in order for me to understand and heal. Prison offered me that with the solitude it brings. I've chosen to use my time to heal and become the man God created me to be. I am far from being perfect. I am human and susceptible to Satan's trickery and wild schemes. I am striving to become a better person, and my goal is to tell my story in hopes that it will save someone.
Well, that's a lot. His whole world when he was young was just filled with abuse from his dad, abuse from kids at school, mm-hmm. on top of being one of the only black kids in the neighborhood, that alone is difficult.
I know. That's hard. Like how we say, you and I are biracial, but we know what it's like being the only. I was the only biracial kid in my class up until seventh grade. Like that is rough growing up
in a place where kids are mean.
I know.
Kids are so mean.
I know. And also, I wanted to, like, go back to how he said he wants to tell his story in order to, like, hopefully help deter someone. That is another reason why we do this podcast, because I don't know. Maybe someone is listening who is, I don't know, turning to thinking a life of crime. Thinking that crime is,
like, the way to go.
Yes. And maybe they hear this and hear these people and their experiences going through prison and how they would never, if they were had the chance to get out, they would never take freedom for granted. So mm-hmm. that is another reason why we do this. But, and even if you're not, how he talks about, like, religion. Even if you're not religious, at least it's helping him to, it's giving him hope and helping him to be a better person.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, prison is a terrible place, but I know it could be worse. It's terribly lonely and oppressive, but it's also the place where I became a man. It's the place where I received my education, and it's the place where I finally learned to listen to God. God is my hope, and he's the reason why I'm still standing after 24 years in prison. He's the reason why I have a future beyond these walls, and had I not come to prison, I would be dead and in hell. Yes, I wish I could have taken another route, but God is the potter, and I am the clay. So there's a trend I noticed about, well, what we've received so far. A good amount of the people that we've written so far have mentioned becoming a better man and growing up while doing their time in prison. They stop, like, dwelling on the things they can't change and are instead, you know, like, pursuing ways to better themselves and focusing on the positives. And that isn't the first time that someone said, if I wasn't in prison all this time, I would have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure this is far from the life they thought of themselves having, but they have something to be grateful for. So I know we got a response from the guy in the downward spiral, but he sent us another letter actually answering some of my questions, because I did send him, like, some questions about, like, He was the one that said he was introduced to meth at the age of 13. Okay. I'm not sure if you remember that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to hear a little bit more about that and, like, why his mom wasn't in his life. So he talks about that. So I'll read it. He said, "To answer your question, my uncle's the one who gave me and my cousin a box full of meth when I was 13. My cousin was 15, and that was my uncle's son. My cousin and I shared a bedroom together. Him, my two other cousins, and my auntie had become homeless, so we took them in for a while. And one weekend, my cousin's dad made a trip down to our place to visit for his birthday. That's when he gave my cousin the box of meth as a gift. I had no idea what I was looking at the time, and I was still just an innocent little kid, but there was a lot of it, at least an ounce-looking block, and all it took was for me to try it once. When I did, the next thing I knew, 2 or 3 months had gone by, and I was already strung out and homeless, living on the streets at 13. You could say that's what ruined my life, I know. Everything went downhill from there. I was in and out of juvenile hall and living on the streets my whole childhood. By 14 years old, I was already a ward of the state. From 13 to 18, I was either high on meth or coming down off of it. And that's why my parents weren't in my life. That and because my biological mother tried putting me up for adoption, so I ran away." That is awful.
I just can't. Yeah, it's so horrible to give a child such an addictive drug. They have no idea, nothing. They have no idea what they're even getting into.
I know. And I'm not sure, like, he talks about now, like, he realizes how bad of a man his uncle was, but I'm not sure, like, if they thought that at the time. You know, as kids, they were probably like, oh, I look, I know. And he's probably, like, an authority figure. Like, you look up to those mm-hmm. people in your family, and so you think, like, yeah, how...
If an older person in my family said, here, do this, or... I would not think.
You'd probably, like, trust them.
Yeah.
Or not, I mean, obviously not understand what it was. He said that, but. Mm-hmm. He talks more about his uncle and how he treated his own kids. And he says that his uncle beat them and forced them to get high on meth. And he says now those kids are now all adults and are homeless or in prison as well.
Oh my gosh.
I know, which is incredibly sad. That their parents deprive them of not only having a childhood, but they also deprive them of their whole entire...
to use drugs?
The parents are completely responsible for how they ended up. It's...
Yeah.
It's all... The parents were pushing their struggles onto innocent young children. He also says his cousins are... they were addicted to meth as a young teenager, and now they have permanent brain damage by the time they get to their early 20s or are now either living under a bridge or serving time in prison. So yeah, they basically never had a chance with the childhood that they lived and the circumstances that they lived through because
someone else decided that they were going to choose their future.
I also asked him about his kids and whether or not he's in their lives at all. He says no. He says that he hasn't been in any contact with them since being in prison. He says the amount of time on his sentence had to do with that. It had to do with his child's mother's allowing them to talk to him. He says he hasn't spoken to them in 8 years. So that was that. So, yeah, both incredibly sad stories. But, like I said earlier, both of these men in these stories said that they kind of benefited from being in prison. Like, one of them, he's the one that's taking college classes and getting an education.
That reminds me of a quote that I came across during my volunteering, and it was... "It doesn't matter what's been written in your story so far. It's how you fill the rest of the pages that count." And I feel like that's what they're doing, is trying to make the most out of the situation mm-hmm. that they're in, and that's great.
And that has to be hard, especially when you don't have a choice with what you grew up like.
Yeah.
You'd think that someone would just be mad for the rest of their life, but it's good that, and I'm sure they are, but it's good that they're trying to make the best out of their life now.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, we will end this episode. So sorry again for our little delay, but we are back, and we'll be back with another episode next week. But in the meantime, you can visit our website. It is pfppodcasts.com. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We have a channel basically everywhere. You can subscribe to us so you know when our episodes get released. And leave us a review and let us know how we're doing. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.